The media has officially gone completely off the rails. They used to be interested in telling news. Now they're interested in telling a political narrative and sharing propaganda with you. And it's just gotten incredibly dangerous. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. The New York Times sends me something every morning called aptly The Morning. And this time, yesterday, they sent me a bulletin that says, we're going to tell you about the Georgia election law. And here's a quote from them. The Georgia law is part of an ongoing effort by the Republican Party to make voting more difficult, mostly because Republicans believe they win when turnout is low. That was their objective news reporting about this story. When you actually go to the story on the website, it says, the New York Times analyzed the state's new 98-page voting law and identified 16 key provisions that will limit ballot access, potentially confuse voters, and give more power to Republican lawmakers. The Republican legislature and governor have made a breathtaking assertion of partisan power in elections, concludes The Morning, making absentee voting harder and creating restrictions and complications in the wake of narrow losses to Democrats. Now, here's the thing. In Georgia, they believe that illegals should not vote. Or at least I should say, Republicans believe that illegals should not vote. That you should have some sort of ID that proves you're an actual U.S. citizen before you get to vote. Now, it is incredibly offensive and racist to claim that a minority person cannot find the DMV, cannot get an ID. And let's be honest, how do you expect a person who is unable to get an ID to make an informed decision on voting? They don't want people to make an informed decision. They want illegal voters who will make an uninformed decision. You know, if you're an illegal in this country, the only question is which party will give illegals free stuff. And we all know the answer to that question. So there's a vested interest on the part of Democrats to have illegals voting. And the New York Times is anxious to support that. But here's the bottom line, and this is the end of this New York Times story, which kind of disproves everything they set out to prove. The new Georgia law is intended to be a partisan power grab. You see, there they go again. It is an attempt to win elections by changing the rules rather than persuading more voters. It's inconsistent with the basic ideals of democracy. But if its intent is clear, its impact is less so. It may not have the profound effect that its designers hope and its critics fear. In other words, the actual evidence, when you care about what's actually going on, the law will not have the impact that into which the whole attack, the whole New York Times story was based. The New York Times, of course, does not know. There is no Republican who said, oh yeah, we're doing this for a power grab. They inferred there was a power grab. And the only problem with that is that there is no such inference in the actual bill. According to them, it's the bill was intended to make a power grab, but it's not going to work. What if the intent was never to do a power grab in the first place? What if the intent was only to make sure that the voters were legal? In which case, the entire attack is bogus. They don't care. It's alarming. There's no evidence here supporting the New York Times claim that this is all partisan, restrictive, and even racist. It's just an attack based on the sole evidence that it was Republicans who passed this law. So we move away from the New York Times. Let's go to ABC. ABC's The View. In fact, their guest was CNN's Don Lemon. So both ABC and CNN can take credit for this one. Don Lemon said that a first step to purging Americans of systemic racism was for them to stop having pictures of Jesus which portray him as, quote, a hippie from Sweden or Norway. Instead, the pictures should show what he really looked like. And what did Jesus really look like? Here's the quote from Don Lemon. either a black Jesus or a brown Jesus, because we know Jesus looked more like a Muslim. That's what he said. Now, what did he not say? That Jesus was a Jew from Bethlehem. Now, that's, again, this is about presenting a narrative rather than reality. He wanted to present that Bethlehem is Palestinian territory. You know what? The name Bethlehem means nothing in Arabic like it means nothing in English. It only means something in Hebrew. Beit Lechem means house of bread. Bethlehem, its very name, says this was a Jewish city. The residents were Jews. Jesus, we all know that Jesus was a Jew. This isn't even a question. The initial disciples were all Jews. We all know this. But Don Lemon wanted to present this Palestinian bogus Arab narrative that, oh yeah, he looked more like a Muslim. There were no Muslims for 700 years after Jesus died. Again, it's not about objective reality. It's not about the facts. We can obviously see in front of us what is true and what is false. It's about the narrative that he wants to push. And that narrative took precedence over the reality. Okay, then we have 60 Minutes. And what 60 Minutes did to Ron DeSantis, it's not only that it's unconscionable, it's that it's obvious. I want to play you the audio from the 60 Minutes interview with Ron DeSantis. Here it is.
We wanted to ask Governor DeSantis about the deal, but he declined our request for an interview. We caught up with him south of Orlando.
Publix, as you know, donated $100,000 to your campaign, and then you rewarded them with the exclusive rights to distribute the vaccination in
Palm
Beach.
So first of all, what you're saying is wrong.
How is that not pay to play?
That's a fake narrative. I met with the county mayor, I met with the administrator, I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We can do more drive-through sites, we can give more to hospitals, we can do the Publix. And they said, we think that would be the easiest thing for our residents.
But Melissa McKinley, the county commissioner in the Glades, told us the governor never met with her about the Publix deal.
The criticism is that it's pay to play,
Governor. It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts because obviously I laid it out for you in a way that is irrefutable.
Well, I
and so it's clearly not.
Isn't there the nearest
Publix? No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Away.
You're wrong. Yes,
sir. That's actually a fact.
Okay. So you hear all that. And it tells you basically that Ron DeSantis tries to throw out a few facts here and there, but basically he's blustering back against the 60 Minutes interviewer. But in fact, that has nothing to do with the answer that he actually gave. I mean, obviously it's selected quotations from what he said, but here is his answer in full. Listen to this. This is the actual audio.
So first of all, what you're saying is wrong. That's a fake narrative. So, first of all, when we did the first pharmacies that had it were CVS and Walgreens, and they had a long-term care mission. So they were going to the long-term care facilities. They got vaccine in the middle of December. They started going to the long-term care facilities the third week of December to do LTCs. So that was their mission. That was very important, and we trusted them to do that. As we got into January, we wanted to expand the distribution points. So yes, you had the counties, you had some drive-through sites, you had hospitals that were doing a lot, but we wanted to get it into communities more. So we reached out to other retail pharmacies, Publix, Walmart. Obviously, CVS and Walgreens had to finish that mission. And we said, we're gonna use you as soon as you're done with that. For the Publix, they were the first one to raise their hand, say they were ready to go. And you know what? We did it on a trial basis. I had three counties. I actually showed up that weekend and talked to seniors across four different Publix. How was the experience? Is this good? Should you think this is the way to go? And it was 100% positive, so we expanded it, and then folks liked it. And I can tell you, if you look at a place like Palm Beach County, they were kind of struggling at first in terms of the senior numbers. I met with the county mayor, I met with the administrator, I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We can do more drive-through sites. We can give more to hospitals. We can do the Publix. We can do this. They calculated that 90% of their seniors live within a mile and a half of a Publix. And they said, we think that would be the easiest thing for our residents. So we did that. And what ended up happening was you had 65 Publix in Palm Beach. Palm Beach is one of the biggest counties, one of the most elderly counties. We've done almost 75% of the seniors in Palm Beach, and the reason is because you have the strong retail footprint. So our way has been multifaceted. It has worked. And we're also now very much expanding CVS and Walgreens now that they've completed the long-term care mission. Yes? And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts because obviously I laid it out for you in a way that is irrefutable. And so it's clearly not. No, no, no. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Yes, sir.
I mean, do you hear this? For what it's worth, they claim that they talked to Commissioner Cynthia McKinley, who's in the Glades, but they don't actually quote their own interview with the mayor of the entire Palm Beach County, who said that this entire thing is false. Dave Kerner, who is the Democratic mayor of Palm Beach County, said this was, quote, intentionally false on the part of 60 Minutes. And Florida's Divisions of Emergency Management director, who is also a Democrat named Jared Moskowitz, he tweeted out that he had told 60 Minutes that the story about Publix was garbage, and they still went ahead and ran their story. They were trying to pull a gotcha on the governor, perhaps because he's an extremely popular Republican who's done an extremely good job facing COVID and all the challenges that come with it. And the vaccination program was excellent, as he described, as he outlined to them. And they simply didn't care, because it's all about the narrative and not about reality. And finally, we have CNN. This is an actual news report from CNN regarding Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota and her executive orders protecting women's sports for actual biological women. Here is, listen to this. Though the two executive orders signed by Noem do not explicitly mention transgender athletes, they reference the supposed harms of the participation of quote-unquote males in women's athletics, an echo of the transphobic claim cited in other similar legislative initiatives that transgender women are not women. The orders also reference biological sex. Listen to this carefully. The orders also reference biological sex, a disputed term that refers to the sex as listed on students' original birth certificates. Here, this is a direct quote from CNN in a news report. It's not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth, and there is no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. That's right, CNN. There is no way to know, there is no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. Now, if you're not laughing at how bogus and how wrong and how dumb this is, you're not a rational thinking person. CNN has abandoned any semblance of rational thought with this nonsense. And here's the interesting thing. This was March 30 when they had this bogus news report. On March 11, here's a paper that was published. It's actually available online from the Endocrine Society. Considering sex as a biological variable in basic and clinical studies, an Endocrine Society scientific statement. Now, they actually played a very careful word game. They said the terms sex and gender should not be used interchangeably. Here's their quote. Sex is dichotomous, with sex determination in the fertilized zygote. How do you know? Because there's chromosomal differences between male and female. That's biological sex. There are two biological sexes, period, full stop, done. By contrast, they say, this is the Endocrine Society, gender includes perception of the individual as male, female, or other, both by the individual and by society. Both humans and animals have sex, but only humans have gender. Now, were you listening to that? What did they just say? Animals do not have genders. animals can only have a biological sex, meaning to say that animals are not confused about what they are. That's never happened. In other words, there's one that's biological science, and the other is nothing but psychobabble. It's an artificial concept created by people who wish to believe that transgender is actually a thing, which is completely contradicted by their chromosomes and everything that develops therefrom. And this is right from the Endocrine Society. Brain size, global and regional gray matter volume, white matter connectivity, and neuroanatomic regulation. The character of the human brain is different for a man and a woman. You know what else? The activation, signaling, and pharmacotherapy responses of the components of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis differ between the sexes. Heart and kidney functions are linked. In other words, what they're saying is that heart disease and chronic kidney disease have to be treated differently based upon biological sex. That not only is there such a thing as a biological sex, not only, contrary to CNN, is there an absolute neutral objective standard for determining gender or assigning sex at birth, but it makes a huge difference in medical treatment. Here's how they conclude. This is the conclusion of the Endocrine Society. Sex differences pervade biology and medicine and must be considered in virtually all areas of biomedical research. And not only biomedical research, by the way, also medical treatment. It has already happened. Listen to the first paragraph of a story on USA Today. Again, all this stuff will be linked. When the man arrived at the hospital with severe abdominal pain, a nurse didn't consider it an emergency, noting that he was obese and had stopped taking blood pressure medication. In reality, he was pregnant. A transgender man in labor that was about to end in a stillbirth. We do not know if that person had been required to state that biologically, at birth, I am a woman, whether that baby would be healthy and alive today. We have no way of knowing. But CNN doesn't care. I mean, they're so devoted to their narrative that they don't care if it kills people. And that's what you're getting from the media now. I mean, if you believe anything that you hear from the New York Times, from ABC, from CNN, from CBS and 60 Minutes, without double-checking the facts, you're an idiot. Because you are living in an era where the so-called news stories of the day are nothing but propaganda. We are truly living in a time of an inverted planet. Inverted Planet is sponsored in memory of Carl Stitzer, and I remain very grateful to the Stitzer family for keeping this project afloat. If you enjoyed listening, please be sure you've subscribed. This podcast is available on all major platforms and all popular Android and iPhone podcast apps. And be sure to spread the word by giving us a 5-star rating and telling your friends about the Inverted Planet podcast. Thanks for listening.